Well, good evening. It's nice to see all of you here. If you all turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, just want to say it's a privilege to be able to go on vacation, and I would say that for anyone that's a member of the Lord's Church, for being a man in the Lord's Church, just be mindful that when you are out on vacation, that someone may say, hey, you want to come teach class tonight? Oh, by the way, we're doing Genesis chapter 6 through 11. Easy. Well, I appreciate this opportunity. It's nice to see a congregation full on a Sunday night, for we know what typically happens. So it is nice to be able to go through this. And we're just going to try and get through these chapters tonight, and we'll leave you in good hands for in-depth study for yourselves as well as the brethren that is here. Heard lots of good things and knowledge that is here, and y'all better be thankful for that because we don't have that in Michigan. So be thankful for that. Chapter 6, now we're getting up to creation. In the men's development class, we had went over quite a bit of things like this from the flood and different things, and I would encourage you to look into that. The gentlemen that were presenting there for that, they did a fantastic job, and my brain, I'm old, so I can't remember all the numbers and the cubic feet and things like that, or 500 boxcars in Noah's Ark it would fill, and it wasn't full according to process of elimination of the certain sizes of animals. And I would encourage you to go through and listen to those if you were unable to attend that good food. Genesis chapter 6, we see here that now after God has created man, they went around and now man is being man. The wickedness is starting to spawn in verses 1 through 7. So then God saw in verse 5 that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Well, it's crazy because it started with two. They had children. One murdered the other one, so we could see God's love and the discipline right there, but it goes to show us that over a period of time, if we don't practice it, we become lazy and we will forget. So God seen the wickedness of the world, and he says, I'm only going to dwell 120 years with man. I'm done. It repented God that he even made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in verse 8. And I will often wonder for myself, could this be said of me? That God could look at me and say, hey, minus, you know, how I look, could he find grace in me? Am I doing what he said that I would be able to do as a Christian? We all took oaths that obeyed the gospel to be that servant for the Lord. And then we grow. We add to our faith. Our brother and sisters help us to add to that faith. This nucleus of the Lord's church helps us to add to that faith. And that's why it's important to fellowship. Every time the doors are open, where else would we rather be? Took me a minute to get there, though. You know, I was one of those lazy people when I obeyed the gospel. Let every little thing get in my way, but then you realize, no, there's a place you need to be as a Christian because we are representatives of God and his word and his teaching. So therefore, our speech needs to match the video. You probably heard that maybe once or twice. So then you get down into verses 14 through 22 of chapter 6, and we can see here God has given man guidelines. Because he's already left them up to replenish the earth and do what man was supposed to do, be faithful to him. Well, man fell short. I'm sorry if I sound like I'm preaching. You got a point, just jump right in. This is a little bit different than the way I do it back home. Usually I preach Sunday morning, and then we pick apart my sermon on Sunday night, and people just explode on that. Plus we get extra things that I couldn't have the time to get in there, and some of you may know how that is. But God gave him length, widths and heights, in which we use today in our ship, our big cruise, like the Disney Cruise Line or one of those other ones that haul all those people and sicknesses around for entertainment and stuff like that. The proportion ratio is similar to what we have here. And what I'd learned this week in the men's development was this was not a luxury liner where you go get on and you go get fed with all these animals with your family. In a box of wood. A traveling barn, if you would, across water. It's going to stink in there, but you know, you got to do what you got to do to live in the stink, but just don't become the stink. So I encourage you to go through and check that out on that lesson that was preached on that. Then in chapter 7, this is a really good part right here, is an invitation to the saving vessel or the ark. I often wondered how many nails went into the ark. You ever think of that? I don't mean these nails. I mean these nails. You chew on that a second, as we say up here in Michigan. That's something to think about right there. The people, because you're talking about Noah and his wife and sons and wives. Oh, wow. But I don't really put that into my mind of what was going on, upwards of a million people or so that was on the planet at that time. His family. His own family. Cousins. Cousins of cousins. They thought he was crazy. Just like sometimes our family thinks that we're crazy. What do you mean you go back on Sunday night? What do you mean you go back on Wednesday night? Don't you know we got a ball game? Probably don't happen down here, but it does up north. There's always something that sin needs to try and drive its way in. So God says, well, this is what you're going to do. You're going to build the ark. We all know the Bible story of the ark. If we don't, we got good teachers here that can help you with that. But if Noah would not have done it to the specifications of what the Lord had said to do, the boat would have stayed on the ground when the water was released. Just like us today. If we don't do what God says to do according to His Word and His Word only, you're going to stay on the ground. You won't rise above. And that's not to be mean, but that's something that we should set our sights for. Mama always said, you set some goals, Mama said. When we stepped out of line, what'd Mama use? Well, wooden spoon on me a few times. But it was to try and correct. God is trying to do that with man because now they're starting to get into this mindset that they know better. God says, you know what? I can't have this anymore. He could have ended that right there, but then prophecy of Christ would not have come true in Genesis 3:15. It was already prophesied, so God had to think a minute. And that ought to give you some hope and comfort too, that, you know, the next time that you think, but man, I just don't know how much more, because we live in that day, don't we, where how much more can God take with all the sin and the homosexuality and all these things that's going around now? It's changed a lot. I'm not that old. I'll be 50 this year, but things have changed. You don't have to look like that. 50's not that old. Just saying. But things have changed. I never thought in a million years that I would see the things that I've seen. That was touched on in this class at the men's development as well. Goes all the way back into Darwinism and all the sinism. Just call it sin. And it spawned over a couple hundred years ago. Can you imagine? I don't even want to imagine. I know I won't be around, but I pray for our kids and grandkids. They're going to see some bad stuff if we don't make a stand for that. It's up to us to take a stand. Satan's kids are not going to stand for Christ. Christians have to stand. We are that mouthpiece. Some are new converts. This may be a lot to take in and swallow, but it's a stepping process. You learn from your bumps and your scrapes and listen to those that are older in the faith. So God says, hey, I want you to build an ark because redemption's coming. And we all know as Bible students that those that were in the ark, saved. Those that were outside, and we can see that type and antitype with the Lord's church today, God is calling us how? Through His Word, through our mouth, as preachers and teachers. And some may say, well, boy, I'm sure glad that, I've only been a Christian for 3 years. I'm sure glad that God doesn't expect that of me. Well, I would encourage you to reconsider that thinking. Because why did you obey the gospel in the first place? Go back to that day. Why? You didn't want to live in sin anymore. Wanted to be better, as we say. Yes, sir, go ahead. Yes.
You didn't leave nothing out. God told him to put pitch in there. He put pitch in there. He didn't put something else. You use gopher wood. You can use any other wood. You use wood. And so this is a good point right here that you're making. When you think about what God is telling him to do, if they're going to be saved, it has to be done His way and His way only.
Yes. He's the one who created everything. He's the one. He's the rules. He's the boss. Made that point this morning, and I heard it over at the, I'll refer back to that conference we were in, but there's a lot of good food there. I'll tell you what, first year doing that, overload, but it was good. Crazy, you know, because you're there Wednesday through Saturday, and then you get up 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, drive over here to see you fine people from College Station. It was worth it. It's worth it. I hear a lot about you fine people, so I had to come see for myself, but on the side of that, being seen, where I work for the County Road Commission. And, you know, as men and women, people, you know, when they're, and the point was brought up about being on your phone on work time, if you're not doing what God said to do, you're stealing from your employer. Well, I'm in supervision role. I was one of those employees, worked my way up. So now it's like we put cameras in. It's for property damage and things like that to make sure that if something happens, oh no, you didn't. You did it to watch us. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, if you got a pack of dogs and you throw a stone, Tobias, which dog barks? The one who got hit. Now, if they're sitting there and they're saying, well, why are you doing this, man? No. God's watching His people. Watching them demise. Yes, sir.
I always think Genesis 6:6 is one of the saddest verses.
Yes, sir.
I've ever read. But it's one of the verses that keeps me from sin. I've been, I guess you could say, a pretty rough child when I was growing up. I've seen my mom cry over my behavior.
Yes, sir.
And my mom never said, I wish you were never born. Mm-hmm. When I read Genesis 6:6, that's like God saying, I wish you never been. They have become so wicked that they had hurt God. And that's what sin does.
That's right.
That verse alone is what I'm reminded of anytime I sin. Really, knowing I shouldn't have done this, I go back to Genesis 6:6. And then, of course, that takes me to 1 Corinthians 7. God is sorrow leading to repentance. But that verse right there just shows you how wicked man.
That's something to really think about, you know, in your studies, because there's a lot of things that, you know, I grew up in the church, didn't act like a Christian for a long time after I obeyed the gospel, but, hearing this, yeah, you know, how many of you read the Bible all the way through? We have a couple times. You know, where I used to attend, 40 minutes north of where I'm preaching now in my hometown, we used to make it a plan to try and read the Bible once a year. You know what you get out of the Bible reading it once a year? Yep, exactly what you're thinking. If we don't apply and we don't go study, we don't dig in deep, we don't pound those nails and exegete the text, as we can say, you're not going to get nothing. You'd be like Bill when he was in school and the teacher said, hey, I want you to read this book. And I want a report. I got the pages cleared, but I did not remember any. I didn't read it. I didn't put my heart into it. God's people didn't put their heart into what he had given them. I appreciate what you said. It repented the Lord that he made man. That's bad. So God says, well, I need you, Noah, to grab two of every kind. He didn't need to grab everything. He could have left mosquitoes, ticks, snakes, all those little things. He could have left them, but that's okay. We have to have a reminder that God's still in charge. Jen. And it begins with prayer, like the lesson that was given today. Do you like living in chaos? Turmoil all the time? We go home, we shut the windows, we shut the doors, we shut our phone up. Well, we don't shut that off because face space is on there. But don't we do that? Where do we turn? Where do we turn? Usually it's when we hit rock bottom. We turn one of two ways. We either go back into the filth or we turn to God. People need to realize when they read scriptures like this, the Old Testament was written for our learning, that we can have patience and comfort and hope in the scriptures. Why? Because it's always easier to pick apart somebody else's life, somebody else's wrongdoings. It's so much easier to always look out until we wake up in the morning and see that face in the mirror. Is it not? Well, that's what God gave us the Old Testament for. All these writings. These people that were living at this time had no idea that they were going to be read about some thousands of years later as an example of what not to be. What's going to be said of us? I doubt that anybody's writing a book, but we are seen and read of men daily. Our legacy and life stories, they're going to go on because you know what old Brian used to do when he was younger? We can never escape our past. Some people will not let that go. I'm thankful to God that when we obeyed the gospel, he let it go. He let it go. It's all right if people don't want, let them be a dud. That's what we call them in Michigan. Let them be a dud. But you don't have to be a dud. You can be better. You are better. You're a Christian. We're a light in this dark world. I appreciate going into verse 7, or chapter 7, how Noah did all that God commanded him to do. The invitation was to come into the ark because not only was he a builder of the ark, but he was preaching to his fellow man. Repent, repent, repent. The time's coming. A flood's coming. God's wrath is going to come. Much like the speech that we use today. But they were blinded just like our people are blinded. So now you get into 7. In verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. It's time to come in. Come in out of that darkness to that saving vessels. Then we get down there and, you know, don't ever say that you're too old to do the work of a Christian. I've heard people say that before growing up. Well, when I retire as a preacher, when is that exactly? I got 69 months till I can punch out, Lord willing, from my job so I can preach full time. I do preach full time. My sons take over class for me on Wednesdays and Sundays, helping me out. But there's a time that I had to do that, plus the song leading and all that as well. Small congregation of 25-ish people or so. Yes, there are men there. But it's a blessing when we come out of that lifestyle and we realize, hey, wait a minute. I need to start putting God doesn't put a limit. God doesn't wear a Timex like we do or whatever Fitbit thing them Apple things are. He doesn't keep time like that. So when Noah, when he was 600 years old, he was still 300 and some years, 350 years before he passed from this life to the next. He still had work to do. But we look around and say, man, 3/4 of life or better. Man, I just need to start slowing down. That's when we need to get moving, because people look to you because you're the older, you're the wiser, you got elders. We don't. My mother and father are the olders in my congregation, and then it's me. Out of the 20-some that's there. We've got a bunch of new converts, but they need work. They need work. They need help. Now, my parents pass on. That leaves me at the top of this. I know, huh? Whew, them people. That's it. We have to keep on. We have to keep being better. Add to your faith daily. Study your Bible daily so you don't fall into this trap. Come in. You've come in. Now you need to maintain. And now he had to bring in the animals into the ark. He did all that God had told him to do. In verses 20 through 24, there was death to all that was outside that saving vessel. Man, that's still hard to chew on. I was going to put a sermon together on the nails of the ark. These nails. I haven't got to that yet because we're doing another series, but I wanted to share that with you. So some of you men that preach and stuff, figure that one out so we can hear that. So I think that'd be a good sermon. Nails in the ark. Everything died. Yes, sir.
I like how you mentioned about the snake and the animals. God said, come into the ark. It means he was already in there.
Amen.
So the only reason they were able to make it is God was with them.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If God is not in the ark, if God is not in your home, if God is not within you, I don't mean this tingly and acid feeling. I mean, if God is with you through the word, you'll be okay. It doesn't matter what society says. You will be okay. How do you know? Take a look around in here. Yes, sir.
Stench.
That was in the ark. Yes, sir.
Was far more valuable than the death outside.
Oh. I guess I never thought of that one before.
Like the water washed it off.
Yeah, open the window, somebody.
Which tells us that whatever we're going through in the church is still better than what's outside.
Yes. Yes. Don't give up. Stay in the ark, because if Noah would have said, you know what? I'm tired of you crazy woman and kids. Climb out the window. Where is he going to go?
Death.
He's leaving the protection of the Lord. To go back to what? In the end, the earth is going to be burned up and all the works that are therein. Where are we going to go? We put so much emphasis on the things that we have in this life. Well, you know what? So what? So what? That thing that you got, what if you lose that thing? Or rust goes on that. Because things rust. People break in to steal. Y'all probably got that more down here with the neighbors coming up and that kind of stuff and the pilgrimaging and things like that than what we have, although we are getting some distributed in our state as well. But so what? Where should our focus be? If this whole world implodes in on itself with sin, we have to answer to God for what Bill does. I have to answer to God. You have to answer to God for what you do individually. Thankfully, I'm thankful. You know what's even better is, boy, when we repent, God remembers that sin no more. If we repent and show fruit of that repentance. Man, that's, put a price tag on that. You cannot do that. And it's free. It's that crazy. No, it can't be free because denominations are ruining that. But that's on them. We need to be out there and we need to teach those people. How do we teach them? Being better. Be the example. You speak it, but you live it. Have patience with people. God had patience with people until he couldn't have patience no more. But he tells us to have patience like his son. Then we get into, where we go to? And we'll jump down here. Just a note there to all that were outside the ark. I had put Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. For all those that were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life were cast where? Into the lake of fire. All those that were outside Noah's ark at that time were cast where? Into that watery grave, that death. Chapter 8, we see here that the waters are starting to subside and decrease, verses 1 through 3. And then verses 4 through 6, we can see that the ark is rested on Mount Ararat. And then that process from 7 through 22 of the water receding, Noah sending out the dove to find out when is dry land going to come. Could you imagine going back to that stink somewhere about a year or so from start to finish? That's a long time to be on a floating barn. But it was safe in there. I appreciate that point. That's a good point, brother. So Noah gets off the ark into a fresh start. How does that relate to baptism for you and I today? How does that relate? Yes, sir.
Number one, he's delivered or saved by water.
Okay.
Same is true for you and I. And when we come out of the water, just like Noah, it's a new beginning.
Yes, sir.
So, Romans 6, 4 through 6, we rise to walk in the newness of life.
That's right. What else can that do for us, like as Noah? What other benefits would there be from stepping off from the ark in Noah's sense compared to what we got? What did he step onto?
Freshness, life. The benefit of just actually receiving the benefits of the Lord's life.
Yes.
And again, just to make a little point, and I'll come back to this, I was listening to something about the waters, the lake that's in North Texas, and it's about 20 feet above the national average, the average where it's supposed to be. And they asked the person that's in charge over that, how long would that water take to reside, to come down? They said about a month. So a month for 20 feet. So there's no telling how high the water was, how deep it was. And so the water had to remain upon the earth for almost a year. And then it had to dry up before God allowed them to leave the ark. Which reminds me of when God had the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea, and we did it on dry ground. God doesn't want any instability under the feet of his people. He don't want them walking in mud. He wants to walk on the solid ground.
That's right.
And so the benefit of walking on the solid ground after coming out of this horrific situation for the world, but a beautiful situation for Noah and his family and the animals.
Yes. Clean. No more sin to be seen. No more sin. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, you know, where it says we're baptizing today, death and raised to the faith of operation of God, thus giving God to operate us after we've been baptized and washed again.
Yes, sir. I did some numbers. It's my Bible. I did it a while ago, so the pen smart, they smudged out. So somewhere around, I just put the tallest mountain and the rain and all that stuff for 40 days and 40 nights, plus you're 22 and a half feet or so above the highest mountain. And it was something around 6 inches every 30 seconds of water. If the floods and all that were just to erupt, just to put it in perspective to me, 12 minutes would be over my head. I'm 6'2". The important stuff's down here, though, at about 5'9". You can only stand on your tiptoes so long. And it wasn't like when we fill up the kiddie pool, nice and gentle, coming. Everything gushed. God was making a point. His wrath was opening up on the children of disobedience. It wasn't the fun park. It wasn't the fun park.
Yeah, but this was a universal flood.
Yes.
This wasn't an isolated place. There was nowhere for the sinners to run.
None.
Geologically speaking, we know that like in the earth, you know, drilling for wells, oil and gas stuff, the amount of water in the earth is amazing. The amount of water in the sky, the amount of water in your lakes and streams. We're not lacking water.
No.
For sure. It's God that's controlling it right now. Something we should all keep in mind. He's still the one that controls providence. And he wants to burn this place up. Don't argue with the account here.
That's right. And we're privileged. We're, yes, sir. Go ahead. Okay. If you want to make a reference to 1 Peter chapter 3, 21, 22 right there, 20 through 22, 1 Peter chapter 3, 20 through 22, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few souls, that is, 8 souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not a putting away of the filth of flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Same thing, that type and that antitype right there. Yes, sir. What's your name, young man?
Leon.
Leon? What do we got? It's humbling to hear young people with that sort of depth right there in an overview like that. I appreciate that because that shows me if people of that young age are willing to dig in that deep, imagine when they're our age. The knowledge, the value, the experience. Don't lose that train of thought. Keep on that path.
This point also proves that God knows how to deliver the righteous.
Amen.
So, Elizabeth wasn't going to go down there.
No.
You didn't have to get in the ark. God was going to take care of them before that took place.
Yes, sir.
So, let all the teachers, you want to write God will take care of us. The church needs to be a place of refuge. You do see that. When that happens, we invite people into the ark, the church, so they can have refuge looking forward to the Lord.
Yes. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So where'd we leave off here? Eight. Okay. The new start. And then verse 20. Noah built an altar and did burnt offerings unto the Lord when he come off that ark. He did not excuse and say, wow. We just got off a long journey. My back's sore. My feet's sore. I stink. He did, according to the Levitical law, what he was supposed to do as God's people. That showed me right there that not only did Noah get off and do what he was supposed to do, but he set the example like you and I have to set the example to the people that were around. Hey, no matter the situation, yeah, go get me some dry wood. Where's the go find some dry wood. We got to get this done. Yes, sir.
Whenever you look at 1 Peter 3 that you just talked about, compared to what we're reading here in Genesis, God doesn't change.
That's right.
We serve the same God. And if God demands obedience to these exact instructions that he gave to Noah, then he expects us to obey the exact instructions we can read in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
There's no change.
No. If he changed it, he gave them a little of this and he gave us something else in requirements, that would make God a respecter of persons. It'd make him unfair. Because if he gave us that little pass, which people today, they want the pass. They don't want to do the job, but they want the cookie. Well, you have to work to get the cookie. God says if you want salvation, there are spiritual works that you need to do for your salvation's sake. That was discussed too this week. Very powerful. Do you have a hand? Yes, sir.
Tom said something that made me think. How did he find dry wood? That means God provided dry wood. So God has always provided us with worship.
Yes, sir.
My mind goes back to COVID. And for whatever reason, God has been so faithful. But then 2020 hits, and now there's no way for us to worship. But God has always provided a way to worship.
That's right. That's right. You do what you have to do as Christians. Don't fear. Yeah, being sick, we understand if you got to be home, stay home and that sort of thing. But don't let that fear of you going outside going to catch that's going to kill you. I work in the public. I'm more worried about the person that's driving by me at 95 miles an hour looking at their phone and not me when they're 6 feet away from me. That's what I worry about. I'm not worried about no virus or cold or anything like that. Well, my boss said I'm an essential worker and I couldn't get it anyway, so that helped boost my ego. No. I digressed. Sorry.
How it ends in 22:14-17, the same pattern again. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and they enter in through the gates into the city, saying, so things are, they have the right to enter in through his commandments, and then jumping to 17, and the spirit of the bride say, come, let him that hears say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come. So again, in all the chaos, just come.
Just come. Just come. Just show up. Do your part so no one has to carry you. Yes, ma'am.
I was just thinking it's interesting in this passage. He sends out the raven and the doves, and the dove doesn't come back. So he knows that the water has probably gone away and is starting to go away, but he still waits for God to tell him to come out. He waited for the commandment. Sometimes we don't like to wait when really we should.
He waited for 7 days. 7 days after that bird was gone. What's seven stand for? Complete. There's a purpose for everything that we do. You just have to find it. There's always a silver lining in everything that you are involved with in your life. It may not seem like it, but look, search for that silver lining. There is a silver lining. God always provides through His providence that He'll take care of us just like that dry wood. Then we jump into chapter 9. Now after all this cleansing, God blessed Noah and his sons. He told them to go be fruitful and multiply. Let the animals out. Let them start rebuilding. You have a clean slate. You are fresh. Gave them some warnings. Don't be shedding blood of man, though. Goes right back to Cain and Abel, that very first sin in the Bible. Murder. Don't do that. Because if you do that, I will require your blood at my hand. Why? Because man was created in the image of God. He didn't expect us to go running around killing each other. That's sin. People say, well, that's the devil. The devil made me do it. No, that's sin. That's a product of sin, because if the devil was here making us do things, God would be fair, not fair and unjust to us, not giving us something equal or greater to combat that devil. That's a product of sin that got started back in the Garden of Eden. One lie started this whole snowball. You guys don't get snowballs here, but back in Michigan, snowballs, they roll and they gather everything. But as their way, as they're traveling down a hill, gathering things, they're also growing. They grow, and so big they destruct whatever's in their path. But you know what? They get down to that bottom and they hit something hard. What happens to it? Gone. When people snowball and snowball and snowball and they hit the Word of God, they explode. We cannot stand or break the rock of salvation. That's there for our benefit. And all these stories that we're learning about are there for our benefit to what? Give us hope. Nothing more that I hate than not seeing the end progress of, man, what's the goal? What's really the goal? Why am I doing this? You know, like paint the fence, sand the cars, all that stuff from the Karate Kid. There was a goal Mr. Miyagi was teaching him. He didn't understand it, though, did he, at first? Kind of like when Mama and Daddy was trying to teach us stuff. Why do you want us? Because that stove is hot. God's trying to say, don't be doing this. You got a clean slate. Start over. Go fresh. Go fresh. Just get along. Why can't we all just get along? I'm thankful the Lord's church is not racist and we can get along. I know there is, and that's what they got to work out. But I'm thankful we're not. Thankful we're not. We're all Christians. God looks at us the same. So then we can see that the rainbow is introduced into this chapter as well as a covenant from God to man, a diatheke, an agreement between God and man that He would never flood the earth again. The next time that He comes to destroy the earth, it's going to be in a blink of an eye, and it's going to be with fire. There's no 120-year warning. It's going to be instantaneous. Yes, sir.
Recently, 6, where we're told, whoso sheds man's blood, man shall his blood be shed. But notice the next verse. And you can be fruitful and multiply. I was doing an article on abortion, God's needs abortion. And you can't, of course, write a book in God anyway, but you cannot obey God for killing your babies.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's legal whether the state says otherwise or not.
That's right.
God's house.
I don't mean to be gross, but if they actually had to see that process done, make you sick. It makes me angry and want to go back to the old way on those people. It just, that's something I got to work on, but boy, I just, it's hard for me to stomach that. I listened to a preacher for a few minutes preach on that. He went into detail, descriptive detail. Make you sick, but that's what it is. What's the silver lining? There is no silver lining in that. It's just, what's the silver lining in that? What's that? Don't do it, but that child is safe. Sinful as that is, and we can't stop it, to God be the glory that that child's soul is going to be with him. If they're that dumb to want to do that to their own bodies and that child, they don't deserve that child. They do not deserve that child. Yes, sir.
Through the 1 Peter 3:21 passage that deals with Noah's flood and then baptism in the New Testament being the type and antitype, I wanted to point out that idea of an answer of a good conscience as it's surrounding this whole subject matter. And there has to be an effect on the conscience.
Yes, sir.
What kind of effect did this entire flood experience have on the conscience of Noah and his family? That was a pretty amazing experience. I don't care how you look at it. The amount of people that were lost,
yes,
animals, then the amount of few that were saved, spared, and so on and so forth. There had to be an effect on the conscience. And so it is the same in our salvation today. But it goes back to the conscience, the answer of a good conscience according to or ascertaining of the resurrection of Christ. This is why baptism and understanding what people are doing when they obey the gospel has to be pretty clear.
Yes, sir.
How much power, how much, again, damage and destruction was involved regarding sin and what it did to put Christ on the cross or why Christ went to the cross. Then how much power is it? The entire world has the opportunity to be saved as a result of that one act. Blood of Christ. But again, I wonder sometimes how to the effect of our conscience this has upon us. Because that's really, we get so caught up in the Noahic flood determining whether or not it was cataclysmic or it was worldwide. You know, the atheist denies it. But it's undeniable when you look at the fossil records and so forth. But the point being is that if you were in Noah's shoes, how would that have affected his conscience coming off that ark? No wonder he wanted to get off that ark and bow down to his God and offer sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
So again, when one is ready to obey the gospel today, they're ready to go worship. They're ready to go to work. They recognize the, again, effect. But if it doesn't stick, then that's when you start to see the deterioration of Ham and those sons like Canaan and others that would come in time, because the consciousness of man starts to lose sight of actually what was taking place here. Anyway, just a thought there.
That conscience, that's a deep one. I'm a first responder. I've seen a lot of bad things, such as our military, our nurses, doctors. That's stuff you can't get out of your head. From children to aged people. So talk about your conscience.
Related to the abortion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's wrong with their conscience? How can you be a part of that?
They don't have one for that soul.
What if someone had butchered them? The consciousness.
Yes.
It makes sense, Amos 1:13, it makes sense why God was so don't even know the word to use against Ammon. He says three transgressions of those of people of Ammon and before. I will not turn away his punishment because they ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their church.
Yes. It's a heart problem on the biggest degree. That's why you're different. That's why you obeyed the gospel, because you want to be different. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, I strongly consider that you study why you need to obey the gospel so that you're not found outside that ark. Heard that sermon, I lost track of the days through that gospel meeting. I think it was Saturday night sermon. Went on for like an hour and 20 minutes. And the point that stuck in my head, all spiritual blessings are found in Christ, and he had a wagon up there, and he kept putting coins in that wagon, just a little one. And then he poured a bunch of water in there, and he's like, who would let a little water stand in the way of them obeying the gospel? For those people that don't believe that baptism is essential for salvation, all the way that they don't believe that they have to do anything or change. God's word says there's a certain process in which a man needs to obey the gospel. First of all, they need to hear the word of God. That's why it's so important that you study to show yourself approved. Prove all things, hold fast which is good, reprove evil, mark them which cause divisions. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Because be careful, you might be the one that they need to mark next time. So be careful, don't lose your focus, don't lose your point. They need to teach them it's okay to repent. Well, you need to repent, you need to repent, but if I can never show somebody that I've done it myself, I'm still here, got all my limbs, thankfully. Repentance is just humbling yourself before God. Confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I forget the percentage on that, but it's dropping down into the low 50 percentile of people all over. Even believing in God. And it's dropped over the years. That's scary. You are the last hope in this community for people to hear and to see the Word of God. As we come to a close, chapter 10 is for your entertainment. It's much like chapter 1 of Matthew, the genealogy. But we can go through that genealogy and say, well, it's just a bunch of begats, begats, begats. But it depends on what you're studying. You'll be able to pick through that and go through that for your own study. And then chapter 11, we get into the one language. In verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they had found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. These people weren't ignorant. Not cave dwellers like people want to ooga, ooga, booga, booga. These people knew how to make bricks. I don't know how to make a brick. Never had to make a brick for one, but they knew how to make bricks. They had tools. They were smart people. They were created in the image of God. God gave order to Noah to tend and take care of the garden. He didn't give that job to a dummy. He gave it to the man he created after his image, the Godhead's image. And they said in verse 4, go, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the earth. They were dispersing because they were growing, but they didn't want to build that tower to get to God. I thought, well, you know, they're trying to build to get to heaven. Well, we know spiritually that cannot be done. But then I read this again, studying tonight for tonight's class, just a little bit of refresher. They were building it to the heaven, didn't say they were building it to God. Why? They wanted to make a name for themselves. Yes, sir.
They were also disobeying this first
told them the very first command was be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. When they had built that tower, they said, we don't want to be scattered abroad. I said, go fill the whole earth. No, God, we don't want to go. We want to stay and make a name for ourselves.
Well, I appreciate this class, Martin. I get this back home too, but it's nice to know that you all are like that as well, that hunger and all the knowledge. I'm sure there's a bunch of things that y'all have in your minds floating around as well. If we could bring this back to a close to wrap it up for us. God's seen this. He says, in verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. In verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They're of one mind, a sinful mind. They had a different idea in their own mind. They all have one language, and this they will begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Does that sound like today? Man. Just when you think things could not get any crazier, something else pops up. Something else pops up. I'm thankful that you find people are not a part of that, that you are different. If you're dabbling in that and you're still going back into that, we need to repent from that. Show fruit of that repentance. Come back and be faithful. God needs faithful people. There's enough evil out there, it's going to take over if we let it. But do our part. So God scattered them in their language. It's where we get our different languages, so they could not communicate together. The lesson out of all this up to this point, and I hope I did you all justice up to 11. I think it was 11 you were going to, right? Somewhere in there. Don't try to bypass God. The day that you go to bypass God, well, I think you're starting to build a tower. You're starting to build a tower. Thank you for your attention. I appreciate and love you all.